Hello, and welcome to our next episode of Cities Speak. Today, we are in Tacoma, Washington, where NLC is holding its annual summer board and leadership meeting. Basically, we're a group of leaders talking about so many issues that are relevant and that they are facing in their communities. One of those issues and topics that we're going to explore today in more detail is the issue of affordable housing, access to housing, the whole topic of housing. And so you are my first guest after the celebration of 1 year. So I hope y'all feel special. Y'all can say, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, good afternoon and thank you all again. Today we have two leaders, one from Washington State and the other from Utah State. And first, we have Mayor Angela Burney from Redmond, Washington. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
And we have Mayor Mark Shepherd from Clearfield City, Utah.
Thank you, sir. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and welcome to City Speak. Now, we have leaders who have been around in office, moved up in a lot of ways, started on the city council, Mayor Burney did, and you're currently serving as you're in your first year of being mayor of Redmond.
My first term of being mayor of Redmond. I'm in my fourth year of my first term.
Ah, how has it been?
Well, overall, I would say it's an amazing experience to be able to lead the city of Redmond. And I took office in January of 2020, so I had about 2 months of normal times. And then for the last few years, I've been leading a city through a pandemic. But our city is strong and our city stuck together. And I feel like the lessons we've learned from the pandemic are just going to make us stronger in the end.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your leadership and engagement in the National League of Cities. Mayor Shepherd, you've been around for a minute in public service, serving on the council. And now as mayor, how are things going for you? And what is the most significant things that you think has changed? Just one thing that has changed since you've been around on the council, I think 9 years, and now as mayor, what is the difference?
I think the biggest difference is as a council that gets along. It's been able to, unite a council in a common cause and try to move a city forward.
So I do want to get specific today because I think that we all recognize one of the major issues that's facing American leaders is around affordable access, quality housing. And, as the National League of Cities, we've been trying to help city leaders from all across the country, both rural as well as urban communities, to deal with this issue in their community. And to kick off things today, can you tell us a little bit about the current housing challenges you are facing in your city? How are you dealing with it as a local leader? How is your government system responding to that? Mayor Burney, why don't you start?
Well, thank you so much. And I do want to congratulate you on 1 year of Cities Speak. I think this is just an amazing format for our cities to get interviewed by you and share all of the concerns that are happening throughout our nation. So thank you for doing this. It's extremely helpful to all of our communities.
Thank you.
As a city, Redmond, Washington sits outside of the city of Seattle and the state of Washington. And throughout the state of Washington and I think the country, we just don't have enough housing. We don't have enough housing in the right places where we need it, close to jobs. And our city is no different from those cities. We don't have enough housing. And what is happening is with the lack of housing, our affordability has just become a huge challenge for almost everyone in our community. Our housing prices have gone up tremendously in the last few years. And people are just struggling to stay in the same area where their kids go to school or their jobs are. And so we are finding regionally that people are struggling just to, make ends meet and be able to afford the housing that where they want to stay in, and really spending a lot more of their income on housing itself rather than some of the other necessities of life. So that is probably our largest issue in our region and in our city.
Mayor Shepherd.
Yeah, I'd certainly echo what she said, but in a different aspect than a lot of mayors have. We're an interesting community because we're a manufacturing and military community. We're right outside of Hill Air Force Base. And so we're made up of people who are in one of those two sectors that make up the vast majority of my city. And so the Air Force gets a base housing allowance and is given, you know, that each of those airmen is given something to live on and to go purchase housing, but it hasn't increased. And so over time, while they've been given little tiny increments, it has not kept up with the price of housing, with the cost of living. And so we find airmen that are doubling and tripling up. And because we're a manufacturing community, we have historically been one of the lower priced cities, with the entry level city in the county. And we're no longer there. And so even our least, I should say most affordable housing is still above median income right now. And so we've got so many people looking for housing and expecting previously to come to Clearfield and no longer being able to find a home there. And historically in the city, we have had our youth grow up and stay. And now they're growing up and they don't have a place to live. They can't afford anywhere. And that's become a challenge.
Are you seeing it as an affordability issue or a supply issue?
Both. I think there's not enough housing. We just went through some of the best interest rates in the world that we have ever experienced. We sat for a long time in that 3% or below interest rate. And in that time, housing shot up. We sold more homes as a realtor. We sold more homes than we could possibly imagine. And then all of a sudden, the rates went up. And if you didn't buy a home in that time period, you refinanced your home. And now we have people that are just saying in those entry-level homes, we can't move. We can't afford to leave anymore. And because of that, there's no supply. And because there's no supply, the affordability just skyrockets. And now there's nowhere to afford, and there's no supply. We're still seeing in that entry-level market, unlike many places in the country, multiple offers on our entry-level homes. They're not on the market for a couple of days with multiple offers on them. And we thought we were out of that, and we're just not anymore.
Yeah, Bernie, in terms of Redmond, what are you seeing? It is a affordability or a supply?
It is also both. Our starter homes are no longer really starter homes for a traditional dual-income family. We are home to a large tech corporation, and there are many of those in our area. Some of those salaries are wonderful, but not everyone makes that kind of money. So we are finding that in order for people to afford to buy even a starter home, they're really having to move further and further away from their jobs, be they teachers or firefighters or work in a bank, further and further away from those jobs in the city of Redmond. So the affordability is there, and we are also seeing those multiple offers even in the climate we're seeing now. It's slowed down a little bit with the interest rates because fewer people are moving. But we're still seeing some of that bidding wars happening for the few homes that come on our market. So we're just really in a tight time right now, where if you hadn't already been a homeowner, entering the market is very challenging. And if you're interested in changing it up, downsizing, or moving on to something different, you're also finding a challenging time.
Can I add to that real quick? When you're looking at interest rates, and I hear this constantly. Well, when I bought my house in the 80s, it was 13%, and then it was 7 or 8%. But back at that time, the houses were significantly less, not just less expensive, but a lot less of your normal everyday average income. In 1980, if you went to buy a house at $80,000, your down payment of 20% was about $16,000, and the average income was $30,000. And so you were half of your income, half of a year's income is your down payment. And it was not unusual to put down 20%. Well, fast forward, and that house is no longer $80,000. It's $400,000. 20% down is $80,000. The average income is $50,000. It's almost twice. It's almost 2 years of income just to get into a house, just as a down payment. So now we don't have any, rarely do we have people putting 20% down. They're putting 5 or 3. And now they're paying mortgage insurance on top of that. And their payment is now not a small amount. It's $3,000 to $4,000 for that entry level home, which means they need to make almost $120,000 a year to afford an entry level, a median priced home in my city. That's six figures. I don't have that many people making six figures in my city. So we've got to find a way to provide housing for them.
The way in which you all are describing this just indicates how big of a challenge this is, and that it's not going to just take local leadership on this type of topic. It's going to take more than just local leadership. If we're going to produce single family, multifamily, preserve our old units or historical communities as well. What do you think the private, public-private sector partnership looks like in order to really address this challenge?
Well, I will jump in there. We found that, you know, as I just think it's really important for the community and our communities all around the country to remember that cities don't do these things alone. We really need all of our partners in order to make the significant change that we need to make in order to provide that kind of housing to our communities. We rely in the city of Redmond on our partners, not just the financing industry or the developers or the builders, but also nonprofits. Other levels of government need to step in. We really are in a place where it's important for all of us to come together and talk about the challenges that we see and the steps we see that where we can work together to move things forward. It is not, we're not in a space where working alone works for any of this huge problem.
Yeah, it's spot on. It can't be solved. You said it can't be solved just by the cities. I wish it could. I wish I could wave a magic wand and housing pop up. But we've got to have the partners to be able to do that. That means the home builders, the realtors, the banks. We've got to come together and find a solution to make this work. And we've got to join together, not just in coming up with solutions. In our case, you know, we'll find land and use funding that we have to acquire the land and assemble land around each other so we have a big enough parcel that we can actually accomplish something on that parcel. So if I've got a third of an acre here and a third of an acre here and a half an acre here, I can put all that together and say, okay, now I've got 2 acres that I can donate if needs be, sell off at a lower price, use in a land trust, however that be, to incentivize a builder to come in and help.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point where it's not just sharing with each other the challenges that we see. It's bringing the assets or the ideas or the possibilities that we each have as contributors to help solve the problem, be it land that we own or some of our larger corporations have brought money to the table to help subsidize some of these types of opportunities. We have, you know, banking industry that brings their knowledge base to the table to help homeowners learn how to buy, or people who want to be homeowners learn how to access the system and be more successful in that. And so it kind of brings everyone with all of their skills together to create an opportunity to really, really make a dent in this problem.
Well, you guys have teed my next question up so well because you both know that the National League of Cities has created the Housing Supply Accelerator Initiative. And you both are members, and we so appreciate your engagement and your thoughtfulness, especially here in Tacoma, Washington. Talk to me a little bit about what do you think makes this initiative a little different and valuable for communities all over America, not just yours, because you're bringing that experience, you're bringing those thoughts, and we're listening to them and we're learning. But for others that are out there, what is different about this initiative?
This initiative is unprecedented. I'm going to use that as the word, to bring all parties together. That's the unique thing about the Housing Supply Accelerator, is that we didn't just say, hey, as cities, we're going to talk about this, or let's bring in the developer and who are typically, historically, not on the same page with each other. But let's also bring in the realtors, let's bring in the Fed, let's bring in HUD, let's bring in the Treasury, let's bring in every player into this and together come up with some solutions. That hasn't been done before. And like I say, we've sat around a table and pointed fingers at each other. We've gone to legislatures and said, it's the city's fault. It's the city's fault. It's the city's fault. And we've sat there and looked at it and said, no, it's the developer's fault. They're just wanting too much. And so to bring everybody together, that's unheard of. And yet we've done it. And it's amazing.
And I would agree. It's been an amazing opportunity to hear different facets of the building and housing industry come together. We just met on Tuesday with our second of three convenings. We brought together HUD, the Fed. We brought together builders and real estate realtors, as you said, and banks to talk about some of the financing challenges. But by bringing us all together, we're able to sit in a room and talk about the real challenges that we're seeing from our communities, what they're seeing on their level, and really have great discussions and come to some moving the needle forward in order to try to find some solutions. And we're bringing together cities from the NLC, from all over the country, all different sizes, to really talk about what each of our communities were seeing there so we can bring that voice into this conversation. And my hope, and I know we'll do this because this is just an amazing experience, by the end of this process, we're going to be able to share with other communities throughout the nation ideas and opportunities that they might have that they never thought of, and contacts that they may never have been able to reach in order to help them and their community solve some of the same problems that we're seeing.
Yeah, I think I'm excited to hear that you guys think of it that way, because we've set the table, or we've pulled up the bus. We got people in the seats, in the right seats. We're on a journey. And Mayor, thank you for talking a little bit about what you see and hope to come out of this accelerator concept. Mayor Shepherd, what is the long-term view? Where do you hope that we will go on this journey to tackle this issue?
Ideas, education. I think it's coming to a common understanding. And we saw that in our convening this Tuesday, of how there's things that we don't as cities understand. We don't understand the development side and what they have to go through. And that was wonderful to sit on their side and go, oh, wow, I get what they're saying. They have trouble just coming up with financing. And right now, not only rates expensive for homeowners, they're unbelievably expensive for the developers, and we're asking more and more and more of them. And I think, wow, if they could understand now our side as well and what it takes to sit in our seats, we come up with solutions at that point. And I think that more so than any of that is that we were asked recently, what has NLC done for its members? You know, what does NLC do? Where's the give back? Why should you belong to the National League of Cities? And shameless plug, this is why. Because everything that we do with this housing accelerator will benefit every single city in this country if they simply want to ask and come and learn. And we can teach them and help them do better cities.
Yeah, that is very helpful to frame it in that way, because again, as we started this conversation, we talked about rural, we talked about urban, we talked about small and large, and the city size may be different. The issues there are the same, and I really look forward to a conversation and outcome as a part of this accelerator journey. We talk about this is an opportunity that we've gotten to set the entire table. But one of the things that happens when we read about local government and our responsibility, it always comes back to zoning. And as one of the ways to address supply side, if you will, in terms of housing. I think there have been some discussions around zoning reforms that can be helpful to some communities, for sure. But they're not a silver bullet. They're not going to address the finance issues, the design issues that Mayor Shepherd has talked about before. Beyond that, what solutions or strategies do you think are often overlooked, and in terms of addressing this challenge around housing? Because it's not just one thing, and it's just not one level of government or one industry. got any advice if, as these local officials are listening to you all and saying, aha, I want to do what Mayor Bernie did or Mayor Shepard did?
Open minds. Look outside the box. There has to be other ways to do things. And it's not always zoning. It's education of your residents. How do you talk to them? How do you explain to them the needs? It's that high density doesn't necessarily mean apartments. That density isn't a swear word. Density is okay, depending on how it's done. But density in Clearfield is very different than density in Redmond. And what they need and what I need are two different things. But I think it's education of your residents. It's open, transparent communication. You know, when I say we need to sit down with developers, we need to sit down with them and explain in layman's terms, I really think, what impact fees look like and why we charge them and why things are necessary, what it costs to run a city and what it costs to add this little development that they want to bring in, what that costs the city. And at the same time, have them come in and break down on a totally transparent basis. What does it cost to build this subdivision? And where's your profit? Because I think there's some understanding that can come from that as well. What is that builder making? Why does he have to, you know, what is he taking from this? Well, our thought process is always the builder should take less. And this builder's understanding is the city should charge less. And I think transparent and open conversations get us to that start. And then looking at things just completely outside of the box. How do we do something different that hasn't been done? Because if you keep doing the same old thing, you get the same old result. And
I would just add to that, thinking about what are places where we have been unable to change, or we're concerned or we're worried about as a city, you know, we don't want to necessarily change the character of our community. I hear that quite a bit. But really having those hard conversations about what do you mean by the character of our community? What is it you would like? Like, what are the values that you're bringing to the table? You brought up, Mayor Shepard, your kids can't afford to live in your community. And we have the same problem where I live. That is a real need and real demand of community members. And so we have to start weighing, balancing that need with the need of other things as cities. We have to be willing to be a little more flexible, I think, in the work that we do and thinking a little bit differently, thinking out of the box, however you want to think about that. The flexibility is really important, and really being clear on what you can and cannot do as a community, as a city. Many of our cities, in my state, we have many mandates that come from the state that we have to do. We have to create more density in our city. We are mandated to do that. In some states, they are mandated to not do anything. they cannot have any local control over some of those issues. So those are some of the pieces that we bring in having those conversations with the local community. And not just the people who live in your city, but also people that work in your city, your developers within your community. I think it's important for us as leaders to create this own table within our own community, like we have done for this housing accelerator. What would that look like in your community to bring people together who maybe can be at odds about what it would take to build more housing, more affordability in your community, and opening up the doors to have those conversations and really be thinking about what the future could hold if we work together?
Yeah, I mean, when I went to my council and said, hey, let's make a change. Let's bring form-based code in. And they said, what on earth is that? I said, we're going to focus on aesthetics. Do I care if it's an office building or an apartment building as long as it's beautiful and enhances my downtown? No, I don't. I if people live there, then that's wonderful. If that's an office building, that's great. I'd love to have both. And so let's push for a mixture of both. Let's bring retail on the bottom. Let's put ground floor stuff in. We're much more concerned about what it looks like and how it feels than what that use is inside.
Well, I first want to thank both of you for being here. City Speak listeners, you've heard from two passionate, insightful leaders, Mayor Angela Bernie from Redmond, Washington, as well as Mayor Mark Shepard from Clearfield City, Utah, who's really giving us and providing us a roadmap on how to think about housing, how to think about increasing supply. But as we opened up about this issue about housing earlier during this conference, we talked about the issue of creating dignity as a way of thinking about housing. We talked about a way of building wealth and pride in a community. But most of all, we talked about creating a place where everybody can afford a home, whether it's multifamily, single family, duplex. And I think that ultimately that's what we are looking for through this housing supply accelerator initiative. Let's keep thinking. Let's keep dreaming about ways in which we can be able to create a lot of dignified people in your communities and communities all over America. So thank you all so much for being my first guest after 1 year of celebrating City Speak. Get the word out in Redmond as well as Clearfield, and we will be excited to be able to share this beyond our communities, but nationally. So thank you all very much and appreciate you being here.
Thanks for listening to City Speak with Clarence Anthony. If you like the show, let us know. Share this episode with your friends and make sure to subscribe. We're curious to hear what you think, what you want more of, and how we can improve. If you have feedback or an idea for a guest you'd like Clarence to sit down with, send us your thoughts at cityspeakpodcast@nlc.org. Join us next month for a new episode. Like and subscribe here or wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time.